This is a second story that I wrote in the ongoing Chronicles of Edna. It is a fine standalone, so if you haven't read the first one, you can definitely read this one and know what's going on. But if you wanted to go back and read the first story, it's on my website. Edna stood with her back against the cold concrete wall inside the factory, eyeing the massive creature stumbling toward her. As it gnashed its sharp teeth, saliva bubbled from the corners of its maw. Its yellow eyes rolled as if mesmerized by the brightly swirling patterns of her skirt. "You need to come with me," Edna spoke firmly. It roared and lumbered forward, its powerful arms reaching out to seize her. As she sidestepped, one of its claws caught in her hair, releasing several tendrils from her tidy bun. With an annoyed puff, Edna blew at the curly strands falling across her eyes, then drew her katana and stood ready, her hold on the weapon firm yet relaxed. The blade felt familiar, like an extension of her arm, balanced perfectly in her hands for optimum speed of movement. "All right," she said, tightening her grip on the sword handle. "I guess we play out this story your way." Mere hours earlier, Edna stood in the middle of her school library, surveying the comfy reading chairs and cozy nooks for errant books in the wake of a departing group of fourth graders. She smiled inwardly, satisfied that she had trained her students well. They had all worked happily at their tasks, playing board games at the tables, sharing books together in quiet corners, and learning from gloriously messy mistakes at the makerspace station. Nevertheless, they knew better than to leave books scattered across tables or open on the floor, and had left the room in the same orderly condition it had been upon their arrival. They assumed Edna was a stereotypical librarian, neat and orderly. "Books left open will cause damage to the spines," was her usual explanation. In fact, consequences were more dire. An open book left unattended spelled trouble. Children were unaware of the powerful magic they possessed. When a child believed with their whole being in a story, fiction could manifest into reality. A school librarian's responsibilities included perilous tasks which students also were oblivious of. Edna Freebottom's official job title, Character Keeper and Champion of Children's Literature. Whenever characters escaped the confines of their pages, she was tasked with guiding them back into their own stories, which wasn't always easy. The computer at her circulation desk pinged. She rushed over, dewy decimal patterned skirt flaring, and read the screen. "Level 4 breach, lockdown in effect. Confirmed UE jumper. Eyewitnesses place it in multiple stories. Caused calamitous destruction, including, but not limited to, chopping down the giving tree. Running a stick through Charlotte's web. Letting the pigeon drive the bus. Containment is vital to restoring the integrity of children's fiction everywhere. Bounty, 500 hardcovers, nonfiction." Edna let out a low whistle at the steep bounty. An unknown entity jumping book was unusual. Few characters remained unknown to librarians, but entering other stories was an even rarer feat. Only a handful of fictional characters had ever gained sufficient self-awareness to break the confines of their own tales. A jump into a book was a leap into another reality. The chaos stirred within the pages would have dire consequences on the story within all copies everywhere. How had she missed it? That last class had been rather rowdy. Had the UE slipped out unnoticed between the shelves of her own library, with the students' noisy curiosity muffling the racket of a fictional character plundering the shelves and falling into other people's stories? Edna hurried over to 623.4, ran her hand along the underside of the shelf, and pressed a button. The entire section swung inwards to reveal the fabled secret room, its walls mounted with weapons and book tape dispensers. She removed her favorite, a katana, elegant, precise, practical. The weapon wouldn't actually kill a fictional. It merely served as a conduit back to their original story, sometimes messy, but necessary. As she exited the room, the shelves sealed automatically behind her. Next, Edna ran to the main library doors and turned the placard to read, "Lunch break, back in 30 minutes." She chuckled at the sign's untruth. Edna closed and locked the doors to keep students from entering. Fictionals only manifested within the confines of a library. She didn't fully understand the reason. Something to do with the condensed nature of suspended disbelief made the environment uniquely sustainable. Twirling a pencil into her curly hair to hold it back in a serviceable bun, she scanned the computer for updates. Last known location? Neverland. Edna rolled her eyes. Those lost boys were always desperate for attention whenever she dropped in. She moved between the shelves and stood in front of the B fiction shelves, praying that Peter Pan was not checked out. Scanning the spines, she sighed in relief as she pulled the book from the shelf. She opened it up midway, licked her fingers, and then dog-eared a page. "Don't try this at home, kids," she murmured her mantra, buttoned her cardigan, and adjusted the katana at her waist. With a sound like a tropical breeze whispering through palm fronds and the smell of receding ocean tides, Edna materialized in Mermaid Lagoon, a rocky outcropping along one side, thick jungles lining the other. The UE was nowhere in sight. A cluster of barefooted boys huddled around a small fire in the sand. When Edna cleared her throat, they turned their dirty faces toward the sound. "I'm looking for a creature."
"Same one as Hook's looking for?"
the tallest, fiercest one spoke.
"Not the croc," Edna smiled. "Something that doesn't belong here."
The lost boys glanced at one another.
"We ain't seen nothing,"
one of them shrugged, curly hair poking out from beneath his coconut husk helmet. A small child with a crown made of sticks stepped forward.
"Will you tell us a story, miss?"
"Maybe another day." As she spoke, out of the corner of her vision, Edna sensed movement within the shadows of the vine-covered cliff. One of the darker corners peeled away and a gigantic creature emerged, standing tall on muscular hind legs, a thick, grayish pelt covering its bulky frame. Before she could yell out a warning, the lost boys had already vanished from the beach, Edna frowned, looking about her.
"Need any help, miss?"
a voice called from the jungle. She peered into the gloom and spotted a boy, legs dangling from the bough of one of the trees lining the perimeter of the lagoon. The branches were filled with boys, safe in their perches high above the ground.
"I'm fine, thank you," she replied.
The boy shrugged. His dirty bare feet continued swinging. Edna edged toward the beast. The tropical sunlight glinted off its fangs. Closer still, she could hear the scissor snick of its twitching claws. A smell like a dog in a swamp wafted from the matted fur. Despite its lupine qualities, it was not quite a wolf, nor a werewolf. Edna felt a twinge of recognition, but couldn't quite place the creature. "A sheep in wolf's clothing," the jumbled idiom rose to her consciousness, and then was gone.
"You don't belong here," she spoke loudly and firmly. "You need to go."
The monster snarled and trudged toward her, each footfall making a muffled thud and casting up clouds of sand. It took a swipe, and Edna ducked. Its paw grazed a tree trunk, which exploded into splinters of wood. The lost boys began cheering and jeering. The moment slowed. Each sight and sound was amplified. Her body vibrated with the thrill that this was her calling.
"Your strength is admirable, but your reflexes are slow," she taunted, hoping to goad it into a misstep.
The not-quite-wolf flexed its claws and howled. A fist-sized rock flew from the trees and landed with a squelch in the wet sand several feet away. As the creature turned toward the sound, Edna took advantage of the distraction. She lunged forward and lashed out with her sword. The sharp edge grazed the beast's forearm. It roared out in pain and again focused its wrath on the bearer of the blade. Edna continued to draw back until she reached the edge of the lagoon. The beast grunted, close enough now that she could feel its dank breath on her face. In a liquid motion, she pulled the katana from its sheath and slashed across the beast's belly. The thing bellowed and staggered backwards. Stumbling to keep balance, its bristly tail whipped out, catching Edna at chest level. She flew through the air and landed in the shallow water. With her soaked clothing weighing her down, Edna struggled to stand, not taking her eyes off the beast. Just as she managed to regain her balance, the creature crouched and began to shudder. A low thrumming filled the air. The beast abruptly dissolved into a tornado of fur, which swirled away in a gust and disappeared. Edna cursed. Where to next? Muttering the words, "The end," Edna felt herself pulled back into the library. She swiftly changed out of her sodden clothing. Luckily, she kept a spare set in her office and checked the computer screen for updates. Current location? Chocolate Factory. Edna pulled a copy of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory from the D author section and leafed through the pages. Once again, she dog-eared a page, tucked a curl behind her ear, and took a breath. With a sound like bubbling syrup and the smell of freshly baked brownies, Edna found herself standing in the middle of a candy-laden field, flanked on all sides by factory walls rising several stories high. Her eyes followed a chaotic path of broken lollipop trees and trampled marzipan mushrooms until they rested on the massive figure hunched over the chocolate stream meandering through the landscape. Placing two fingers to her lips, Edna whistled loud and clear. The figure turned, chocolate smeared across its muzzle, its long tongue licking the stickiness along its jaw. From a safe distance, Edna took a moment to study the creature. Its coat was encrusted with colorful bits of candy and dollops of dried chocolate sauce. Two tufted ears stood up high on its head, and its yellowy eyes were wide and bright. Really, if not for the terrible-looking teeth and claws, Edna thought, it would be rather cute, like a naughty puppy. Using her shushing finger, the school librarian beckoned the creature forward, away from the river's edge. If it falls in, who knows where it'll end up, she mused, remembering the fate of Augustus Gloop. The beast began lumbering in her direction. Edna stepped backwards until she could feel the factory walls behind her. You need to come with me, Edna spoke firmly. Faster now, it advanced, roaring as its powerful arms reached out to crush her. As she sidestepped, one of its claws caught in her hair. Edna blew out a puff of air and stood ready. All right, she said. I guess we play out this story your way. She raised her blade, ready to strike if the creature lunged. Instead, the monster paused, tilting its head almost in the same manner of a dog listening to its owner speak. She stared into its unblinking eyes. I know you, she said. Be still. Taking a shuddering breath, she stepped away from the wall and sheathed her weapon. The beast huffed. It seemed to shrink a little. I can help you get back to your room. The thing huffed again, more of a question than a warning. Edna thought it definitely looked smaller now, less threatening. If only I could locate... She caught a glint of something metallic, half hidden in the coarse fur of its chest. She extended her hand toward the creature, feeling the warmth of its shaggy body. Her fingers plunged into the thick hair, then tightened around something small and hard. As she began to pull, the beast began to howl. The zipper split open the furry body down the middle. The wolf costume fell to the ground, revealing a small boy with wiry black hair and half-closed eyes, trying his best and failing to look ferocious. "Are you my mother?" he asked, with the sleepy confusion of a boy barely awake, up far past his bedtime. "No," she said, "but I can take you to her." She lifted him up. He rubbed his eyes and yawned, nestling into her arms. "Wild thing," she whispered. "I'll eat you up," Max mumbled into her cardigan. She kissed his forehead and stepped out. The pages made a shushing sound with their arrival in the library. The room was dark, but the high windows allowed the moon to scatter its light across the shelving. Edna strode over to the middle of the picture book section. Kneeling down by one of the shelves, she pulled out a book, its spine cracked from countless readings. She opened it and blew across the pages. With a sound like a mother's lullaby and the comforting smell of home, the boy dissolved into his very own story, where he found his supper waiting for him. And it was still hot.